Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai
Nityananda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya
Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jai Go Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jai Go Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jai Go Bhakta Vrinda. This is Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyamila, Chapter 22. The process of devotional service, text 81. Satikshava karunita suhedat sarvadehinam ajata shatravat santa sadhavat sadhubhushana. Satikshava karunita suhedat sarvadehinam ajata shatravat santa sadhava sadhu bhushana. Tatikshava karunika suhida sarvadehinam ajata shatrava syanta sadhava sadhu bhushana. Tatikshava,
tatikshava,
very forbearing,
very forbearing.
Karunika,
karunika,
merciful, suhida,
suhida,
who are well wishers,
who are well
wishers,
sarvadehinam,
all living entities, ajata shatrava,
without enemies,
shanta,
shanta,
peaceful, sadhava,
sadhava,
following the injunctions of this shastra, sadhubhushana,
sadhubhushana,
who are decorated with good character. Translation. Devotees are always tolerant, forbearing, and very merciful. They are the well-wishers of every living entity. They follow the scriptural injunctions, and because they have no enemies, they are very peaceful. These are the decorations of devotees. Purport. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 3.25.21. When the sages, headed by Shaunaka, inquired about Kapiladeva, the incarnation of Godhead, Sutta Goswami, who was the topmost devotee of the Lord, quoted talks about self-realization between Maitreya, a friend of Vyasadeva, and Vidura. It was then that the topic of Lord Kapila came up, and his discussions with his mother, wherein he stated that attachment to material things is the cause of conditional life. When a person becomes attached to transcendental things, he is on the path of liberation. All began to turn on this young man in Janashwaka, Chakshu Nilitamina, Tadamai Shri Gurudayana. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Naturally, if you take up some training, you expect that there's going to be something to show for it. You expect that some qualifications will develop in you. Of course, we're talking about training and education in New Zealand, where you have your famous Polytech ripoffs and university loans and things like that. So it's not always that you take up some training and you indeed become decorated with some real qualification. It's a great industry in New Zealand, you know, piling up big student loans and learning nothing. And Mark William was just telling me, he got a loan, got a loan to attend a graphics design course at some private school in Auckland. And how much did it cost each person? 6,500 a year. And there were 30 students who enrolled, and midway through the course, what, how many were left?
Seven.
And you know, you lose your money. So it was a great business. The students didn't like the course. So you figure, the school took in 30 times 6,500, that's how much? Pretty sorry, how much is 30 times 6,500? 180,000 they took in. And they were left with only six students. So, you know, a little bit more overhead. So, this is a very good business. So I asked William, well, what did they say when so many students dropped out? You know, all they just explained that they were lazy students, they were, you know, non-achievers. And we were the fortunate ones who stayed. What did you say at the beginning of the course? They told all the students, you'll get a job in IT for sure. It's guaranteed, the job that they're waiting for you. Then at the end of the course, what did they say?
Then we had to start at the bottom. We got away. We like an office sort of held up, you know, bring them coffees.
From the beginning, they made all these promises. Yeah, you'll be a star in the IT world. At the end of the course, they're saying, jobs are tough. Be prepared to start at the bottom, being just an office boy, you know, serving coffee. Maybe you'll get your break. So it's not always that training brings about real qualifications and real possibilities. Life in the material world is like that. But here, in the Shastra, we are finding out that proper application of bhakti does bring results. You will see the devotee decorated with sublime qualities. Of course, sometimes familiarity is there. That's the disadvantage of living together, in that you develop a familiar perspective of devotees, and you may not see a jewel who's right next to you. Of course, the advantage of living with devotees is that that is the way to become inspired in devotional service. When you see a devotee who's more dedicated than you, you become inspired. Let me improve. Association with devotees is so important that Lord Caitanya says, even if your love of God has awakened, still you need association with devotees. It is a symptom of advanced devotees that they like to sing and dance with other advanced devotees. So it's not that you'll ever get to a point where you can live without the association of devotees. In fact, you will relish the association of devotees more and more, because in the association of devotees you can glorify Krishna very sweetly and very ecstatically. Lord Kapiladeva, speaking about Lord Kapiladeva, this is his verse, he says that himself about the association of devotees. Satam prasangam mama virasamvido bhavanti hrittkarana prasayana kata tad doshana ashurak pavaravarmi shantadatiya bhaktiya nukramisyati. Lord Kapiladeva says that when you have talks about the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the association of those dedicated to the eternal, these talks become very powerful, full of virya, full of great strength. Because you're talking about the sat, the eternal, not the asat. And, of course, Krishna is the supreme eternal of all eternal living entities. Therefore, the talks in the association of sincere devotees becomes surcharged with spiritual potency. The kirtan, the classes, the hearing and chanting becomes very sweet and very powerful. And then what happens? Tad yoshana ashurpa bhagavartmini. The doorway to liberation swings open very easily when you hear about Krishna in the association of devotees. Then, Shadhadatiya Bhaktiya Nikramishadhi. Shadha, there's firm faith. Not religious belief, that kind of faith, but You get implanted in your heart the firm conviction that simply by serving Krishna, everything in my life will be taken care of. Shraddha, fear, Krishna. Then you get lucky. You get attraction for Krishna. How can we not be attracted to Krishna? This is the amazing question. In material life, we are artificially unattracted to Krishna. But we desperately pursue attraction in so many temporary material things. When actually we are looking for Krishna. Tomorrow evening we'll discuss this point of the Sunday program. This will also be my preview of my next presentation on the Sunday program in Mumbai later this month in Bombay. Frustrated in love. It's only a very popular topic in India now. They've seen so many Western movies and now Bollywood is churning out, the romance and passion movies. So now the people are very interested in all these things. I think we'll imitate the West with a no regular principle, no regulated behavior, and we'll be so happy. We're missing something. So I'll also speak to them about this subject in terms suitable for their understanding. Frustrated love. I was speaking at IIT, which is like the supreme university destination in India, India Institute of Technology. Parents would easily give a leg or an arm, at least to have their child go there. And 85% of the students leave upon graduation from the USA. This was Nehru's plan that India would catch up with the rest of the world. He set out to establish like supreme technological institutions in 5 places in India. There would be special campuses outside the city, free from distraction, he thought. He didn't understand the internet would come. There'd be enclaves outside the city, and all the students would focus on their studies, scientific studies, and that way they would get the top education and lead India into the promised land of technological development. That was Nehru's plan. So he called these places IIT, India Institute of Technology. I told him, better change the name. Nehru's plan didn't work out. That's the way it is with the zero plans. You always get something that you didn't expect. So instead of IIT, I told him, you call it AIT, America Institute of Technology, because that's where your graduates go. But then they say, well, actually, that's okay too, from the government's point of view, because when they go overseas, they send so much foreign exchange back into India. So in that way, there's benefit. As far as technological advancement of India, according to their plan, it didn't happen. Everybody goes overseas. I used to think when I would preach there that because these are the topmost students, they want to hear about very intricate subject matters, consciousness, the science of consciousness, and the scientific method, the false of the scientific method. Yes, they're interested in all that. And after going there several times, they took me aside and said, we think enough during the week. Now, on the weekends, we want to get different kinds of subjects. How about like the pleasure principle? How to enjoy. We want to hear about those things. Because the whole media now in India is saturated with Western propaganda that passion is so wonderful. So naturally, the young students are having this curiosity. And they told me. The students themselves told me. All the men use their high-speed internet connections for viewing pornography. All the men. He said, alone and in groups, that's what they do. And they said, they told me, 85% of the students get drunk on weekends. This is what's going on now. But simultaneously with this increased degradation in India, there's a big boom of Krishna consciousness. So both things are going on simultaneously. Very interesting situation. Alright. We have our institute our Bhakti Institute, and we're meant to take up training for developing the sublime qualities. Devotional service is not some kind of mundane menial chore. It is a transcendental activity for pleasing Krishna's senses, and in that transcendental activity, you become invested with divine qualities. Lord Vrindavan is listing some of those qualities here. You'll be very forbearing, able to tolerate so many things. Karunika, you'll be very merciful. Suhada, you'll be the well-wisher of all of the enemies. Suhada Sarvadevina. Ajata Satrava, you'll be without enemies. Now, people may think they are the enemies of a devotee, but a devotee doesn't recognize that he has enemies. She has an enemy. Shanta, you'll be peaceful. And Sadhava, you'll follow all the injunctions of the Shastra. And therefore, Sadhu Bhushana, you'll be decorated with wonderful character. So this is our program. We want our devotees to be known for their wonderful character. We want them to be straightforward, humble, honest, always attentive to others' needs. Then people will be very attractive. Once Srila Prabhupada said, how do you tell who is my disciple? Said, by whoever. My disciple is a perfect gentleman or lady. That's how you tell who is my disciple. In other words, they are sadhu bhushana, decorated with wonderful qualities. You cannot be decorated with anything good, living material existence. Living material existence means you're becoming polluted. Only through devotional service do you become invested with sublime qualities. And these qualities are the ornaments of the devotees. To be merciful. That means to be ready to sacrifice yourself for someone else's well-being. Ordinarily, it's a very hard thing to do. But a devotee does that every day, practically. Sacrificing your life, your energy, so someone else can benefit. This is a wonderful quality. Now, there are other people in this world who want to do that. They want to sacrifice their life's energy for others. And that desire is very wonderful, but they don't know the best way to do it. Therefore, in spite of their intentions, the sacrifice they're making isn't effective. In the process of Bhakti Yoga, however, we have the most wonderful effective process. So, you have your good intent for sacrificing, being merciful in Bhakti Yoga, and you have the process which actually gets the job done. The process actually awards benefit to others. Simply having a good intention is not enough. I would like to be merciful to everyone. I would like to sacrifice for everyone. What is the method by which you'll do this? By which you'll accomplish this goal? You have to think about that. Simply wanting to be merciful is not enough. There must be the right way to show mercy so that actually other people are benefited. Therefore, the practice of Bhakti Yoga is so special. There's nothing more special than the practice of Bhakti Yoga, because through it, you will actually benefit everyone. And to tolerate, to be very forbearing. Taking on personal inconvenience for no other purpose than someone else's benefit. Normally, that's a very hard thing. Trying to even benefit people who you don't know. You're just seeing them on the street, or you're seeing them somewhere a few times, and you're trying to serve them. This is a very amazing quality. the more you engage in the practice of devotional service with whole heart, not mechanically. Mechanically, still, you will advance in Krishna consciousness, but it will be slow. It is true, Krishna is so attractive that even if you serve him mechanically, gradually you make progress. But it will take a long time. The quicker you put your heart into your service, the quicker you'll see these ornaments of the sadhu manifest in you. Krishna wants your heart. Sometimes we're so expert at giving everything except our heart. We'll go through the motions, we'll do everything officially, but we'll reserve our heart. For what? I don't know. What are we saving our heart for? The heart is meant for bhakti. So when we put our heart into devotional service, then you begin to see the wonders. Then you begin to see amazing things develop in yourself that you never expected before. Simply because you invested your heart's energies. Not in a ritualistic way. Okay, now we have to do this. We're supposed to do this, so let's do it. If I don't do it, everyone will get on my case. If I'm going to be here, expect that I do these things, so let me do it. You'll get some benefit out of that kind of performance of devotional service, but it will not bring quickly the ornaments of the sadhu that you should want. And it won't bring the revival of your dormant love of Krishna very quickly. Things come quick when you put your heart into what you're doing. I'm doing this for Krishna. I'm doing this to assist my spiritual master. Let me do it to the best of my ability. See, bhakti has feeling to it. It's very artistic. It involves feelings. In the higher stages of bhakti, you'll feel Krishna's feelings also. In the beginning stages, at least, you should be preparing your feelings to offer to Krishna under regulation. Later, as you become more purified, then there's spontaneous exchanges. You just want to serve Krishna. You wake up in the morning wanting to serve Krishna because Krishna is all attractive, not because you have to. But in the beginning, there needs to be purification to get to that spontaneous stage. We should be eager to see this transforming effect of devotional service. You can take note. Formerly I was like this, now I'm like that. It's quite amazing. And there's so much more to be had. But the main problem that devotees have is they don't put their hearts into their service. They do their service mechanically, officially, ritualistically. And in this way, they miss out on the treasures of bhakti. And they don't become decorated with the qualities of a sadhu. A sadhu is one whose heart is totally invested in bhakti yoga. And others can see that. Yes, he belongs to Krishna, and Krishna belongs to him. The most effective means for becoming sadhu bhushana, decorated with the qualities of a sadhu, is by staunch chanting of the holy name of the Lord. It takes dedication to day in and day out chant the holy name of Krishna with attention. Everyone knows how to mechanically chant. When you rush through your japa and you chant your japa any hour of the day, okay, let's get it out of the way, I promise. Okay, how many rounds do I have left? Just grind it out. You mutter your japa, you mumble your japa, you know. Phones ringing, you know. Things are all around you to distract your attention. Really, a very slow development of bhakti, chanting in this way. As I always say, the main problem with Hare Krishna is that they don't chant Hare Krishna properly. To be sadhu bhusha, to be decorated with the qualities of sadhu, you put your heart into the chanting of the holy name of Krishna, and that holy name will revive in you your dormant, sublime spiritual qualities. Every service that we do, we're seeking to give our hearts to Krishna. There's so much energy in the heart, but generally we reserve our hearts for our own private purposes. We cannot cheat Krishna. We might get some physical energy, some intellectual energy, mental energy, but our hearts have something special. But bhakti yoga is an affair of the heart. It's an affair of the purified heart. The quicker we understand this, I put my heart and soul into bhakti, the quicker you'll get the result, and you'll see yourself decorated with amazing qualities. And you'll wonder, how did I ever become like this? Tolerant to fiction. The activities of devotional service are not under the influence of the material energy. Such activities may look like material activities, but actually, they're totally personally under the control of Krishna. The more we fill our day with devotional service, the more our lives are at the lotus feet of Krishna. In this way, a devotee is not averse to doing any kind of menial task for Krishna's pleasure. Sweeping a floor for Krishna cannot compare to sweeping any floor. Cooking for Krishna cannot compare to any other kind of cooking. Selling books for Krishna cannot compare to what a bookshop does, what Wickhold does, or whatever. Everything directly connected to Krishna is of a completely different nature. So we want to fill our day with direct Krishna activities. We have to take care of the body. If we have families, we have to take care of our families. But we're always thinking, how can what I'm doing be more direct for Krishna's pleasure? Naturally, people are going to think, if bhakti yoga works, we want to see the symptoms in the people who practice it. If you're conscientious about your service, you'll see these symptoms develop. But if you perform your service in a haphazard way, then you won't see these symptoms develop. And people will look at you and think that, well, they have a nice religious belief system, but I don't quite see the result. Anyone who puts their heart into their devotional service, you will see the result. I can immediately tell, I can look at any devotee and tell, is the heart invested in devotional service or not? Because they look completely different when their heart's invested. When their heart's invested, their mind is focused on Krishna's pleasure. When the heart's not invested, immediately you can see the mind is off this way, a little bit off that way. We want our devotees to become very hearty people. A bhakti heart and a head full of transcendental knowledge. You see, kind of knowledge that Krishna is teaching in Bhagavad Gita combines both the head and the heart. It's not just feeling, but it's the highest knowledge also. The head and the heart combine. How to feel for Krishna based on the greatest knowledge of Krishna. This is what Lord Chaitanya is giving even in Kali Yuga. That's why Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya praised him. Vairagya Vidya Nidra Bhakti Yoga Shikshati Deva Purisha Purana Sri Krishna Chaitanya Shri Radhari Kripam Budya Yas Kamaham Prapadya. Let me surrender unto Sri Krishna Chaitanya, who is more merciful, who is the ocean of mercy, Kripam Budya. He's come to teach two things. Vairagya, deep passion from everything that doesn't force the Krishna consciousness, and vidya, knowledge of everything that brings about attachment for Krishna. He's the original personality of God. Shakti Eka Purusha Purana. He's not only the singular Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's the oldest Purana. He's giving instruction. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari. He appears. He comes to this material world. It's not that we are the only ones or people like us who are stumbling around in the material world. There are so many entities we can't see on other planets, other dimensions. But beside that, you have the entry of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Consciousness comes to this world and displays loving pastimes to attract your attention. Everyone is interested in love, so Krishna, the Supreme Lover, comes and displays his pastimes, his Leela, so that you'll look away from your temporary, unsatisfying affairs and look to Krishna. And then, of course, Krishna makes the guarantee, Janma Karma Shamedhivyam, Eva Yoveti Tatsukara, Chakra Deva Purajama, Naiti Maureti Sorajana. If you can simply understand the transcendental mystery behind Krishna's appearance in this world and his activities, then upon leaving the present body, you will not take another material body. That is Krishna's guarantee. So we all need to develop knowledge of what does Krishna do? What are Krishna's qualities? In the pursuit of knowledge of Krishna, we become sadhus, we become decorated with divine qualities. But if we have no interest in understanding what is Krishna, if we just want to be ritualistic, then we will not make very much advancement. We'll remain third-class devotees, materialistic devotees, kakrita bhaktas, who offer some respect to the deity in the temple, but have no deep understanding of bhakti. To get a deep understanding of bhakti requires investing of the heart in you. It's always good to analyze your life and see what you're doing with your heart, what you're reserving your heart for. Just like if you have a bank account, you get a bank statement every month. You can see what's happening to your funds. You should treat your heart like an investment also and see what's happening to it. Are you saving it for something? You're not writing any checks? What are you saving your heart for? It's amazing how we do like that. Well, I'm going to hold myself in reserve. For what? What's the better thing that's going to come along than Krishna? Or else you say, well, I'm just not used to putting my heart into anything. I've been disappointed so many times. Sometimes we're not even aware we have a heart. We've buried it under so many steel barriers because we've been hurt before in the past. We just even forgot we had a heart. But now, in the performance of bhakti, it's time to bring out the heart and give it to Krishna. Then you'll feel the potency of devotional service. Where do you get the strength and the conviction to give your heart to Krishna? Because you've developed knowledge of Krishna. In the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was weak-hearted. He said that to Krishna, I lost all my composure, my self-composure. I lost it because of weakness. I don't know what is good. What should be done? Therefore, Shishyashtayam Chadimam Dhamma. Now I'm your disciple. I'm a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. Arjuna had dropped his bow. He was morose. And then Krishna instructed him, and through Krishna's instructions, Arjuna became strong-hearted. So his final conclusion was that Krishna, Vachananta, I'll act according to your words. Nasha moha svirya. My illusion's now gone. I'll do what you say. You've given me the transcendental knowledge. Now I can act strongly with my heart, even in such an unwieldy situation like having to fight this battle against friends and family. Still, I'll act with my heart. So that was bad news for Dhritarashtra and company. So Sanjaya at the end of Bhagavad Gita conveyed to Dhritarashtra, Arjuna is going to put his heart into this fight. So, there's no question of victory for you, because there's Arjuna with his heart invested, he's a supreme archer. And there's Krishna, the master of all mystic power. Sorry, Dhritarashtra, no chance of victory. If we can put our hearts into devotional service, Krishna will come and help us. Because heartfelt devotional service is so tasty. You yourself would like it if someone would serve you with the heart. You don't want someone artificially or mechanically doing anything for you. So why should we offer that kind of service to Krishna? Every day we should thank Krishna. Thank you for the opportunity to render some service. I don't deserve this. And that is a fact. In Kali Yuga, the only reason why people have a chance to serve Krishna is because of Lord Chaitanya. Kali Yuga is such a horrible time, more than ever. Krishna doesn't have anything to do with such sinful situations. But because in this most degraded age, Lord Chaitanya has most freely given out Krishna, therefore here we are. Now your job is to make sure that you're not following bhakti mechanically or superficially. Because if you do, after some years you're going to wonder, well, where's the Sadhu Bhushana? Where's the decorations of good character in me? And then you'll blame the process of bhakti yoga. Yeah, I tried the chanting, I tried the devotional service, and yeah, I changed a little bit, you know. But if you want to see the true dynamics of Krishna conscious potency, then you put your heart into devotional service. Don't be afraid to sacrifice for Krishna. But there should be knowledge. When you have knowledge, you'll be able to sustain the spirit of heartfelt sacrifice. You'll know what you're doing. Just as we were discussing this morning. Gatha bhutadam avyayam. The Mahatmas, they drive under the influence of the spiritual energy. Because they know, Gatha bhutadam. They know that Krishna is bhutadi. He's the original living entity. Avyayam. They know he's inexhaustible. Krishna is never depleted. There's never any loss for Krishna. So when you apply your heart's efforts to Krishna's service, you get the strong experience of Bhutani, the original person. You get the strong experience of how Krishna's avyaya, inexhaustible. Don't think that because someone else is getting Krishna, you won't get it. No, you should think that because someone else is getting Krishna, I can also get. Now, what else? Sadhava, a devotee, follows the injunctions of the Shastra. The scriptures give regulations to help us get over our disease and revive our healthy condition. So a devotee is very careful to take the Shastra, these scriptures, seriously. They're not just some antiquated books. No. They contain the instructions for ending our rebellious condition. And by associating with the Shastra, we are associating with Krishna. Krishna is not different from his instructions. In this way, we become very pacified and peaceful by reading and studying the Shastra. You'll be able to see a qualitative change in your existence just by picking up Prabhupada's books and reading them. Srila Prabhupada himself consoled himself on the ship from Calcutta to New York when he first came. And yet endured two heart attacks. He wrote in his diary how he consoled himself by reading Chaitanya Charitamrita. He said, that is my all. I'm relishing the nectar of that. And and we have the same nectar available to give us solace. Reading these books is an emotional experience. It's not just like dry metaphysical knowledge. These books are meant for reviving your heart. So this is what we want out of our devotees. We want you to be very hearty people with knowledge. Head and heart combined. Then you'll turn heads of people who come in contact with you. Never met people like that. They know and they feel. Never met persons like that before. They have the best knowledge and they feel so deeply. That's what people want. They don't want religious theory. They don't want religious belief. They want to see that it's possible to develop the heartiest kind of life. But you cannot develop the heartiest kind of life unless your life is based on knowledge. So we shouldn't take the knowledge of bhakti very casually. That knowledge is there so that your heart can pump without inhibition. Everybody loves that feeling, don't you? In your material life, have you ever had that feeling that your heart is pumping without inhibition? You never forgot that. Of course, there's always some impediment that turns up in material expression, material life. And therefore, your heart gets scarred, and you seal it up, you pack it up, throw away the key. I remember a little boy that popular song. I'm cracking up my heart and throwing away the keys. I see it happen so many times these days because in Kali Yuga, so many young people have grown up in such hellish circumstances. Not necessarily poverty at all. I haven't met one person who's come here who's coming from a poverty-stricken circumstance. But what I do see is that even though they have been comfortable in terms of ordinary household comforts, so many abused persons suffer so much from so many strange circumstances due to the breakdown of the family, due to the breakdown of society. So, they come with locked up hearts and the key thrown away. And then they say, okay, now I'm going to perform devotional service. But they got their heart locked tight. The keys are growing long enough. So you try to, pull out your set of master keys and try to open their heart for them one of them. It takes some knowledge to understand your heart is meant for Krishna. So remember, combine the head with the heart in bhakti. You'll be very powerfully attractive to others. Sadhu Bhushana will be decorated with sublime qualities. Mechanical devotional service, ritualistic devotional service, will take such a long time to achieve the result. But when you are enthusiastic, what does Rupa Goswami say? Sutsa nisayakaya. Enthusiasm, patience, and determination. Those are the first three requisites for success in emotional service. Enthusiasm means your heart is there. Sometimes I wonder how come nobody understands this point. How can you truly be enthusiastic about something unless your heart is invested in doing it? Have you ever tried to be enthusiastic about something without your heart being into it? It doesn't work. But so many of our devotees don't understand this. Sometimes they're working hard, but their heart is locked up. Often they don't even understand that the heart has energy, and that's what Krishna wants. The secret is to combine the head and the heart together. Knowledge with feeling. That's the special elixir of bhakti, which you never see anywhere else. Knowledge knowledge with feeling. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is delivering his knowledge with feeling. Arjuna is receiving the feeling. It's not a dry process. It's not a mechanical process. So this is how to get all those promises made in the Shastra, that if you perform devotional service, this will happen to you, that will happen to you. Sometimes I hear even devotees say, well, it hasn't happened to me yet, so I don't know. Maybe, you know, it's... It will happen if you put your heart into it. Most of our problems are heart problems. We've been hurt, or we've been frustrated so many times in our material life that we don't want to put out our heart's energies. The heart is sealed off, and it just goes through the motions. As if we're saving our heart for what, I don't know? What are we saving our hearts for? So you have to catch yourself doing that. Saving your heart for what? You don't know. No, we want to spend the heart. So the regulated process of bhakti yoga, according to regulation, is meant for you to spend your heart's energy. You know how to spend money. You know how to use plastic without a credit card. So simply, you got to spend your heart's energies. Don't just keep it locked up and inaccessible. Spend your heart's energies, not limitedly, but in Krishna's service. You'll see the qualities of the sadhu decorate you. And then people will be very attracted to this. Yes, these are different people. So this is real training. Bhakti yoga is the best training, the best education. Why? Did not everybody take up this training? Because the curtain of Maya is so strong. They would rather spend $6,500 to take up a computer course and then drop out after a couple of months and lose all their money. And say, please come here, get a Bhagavad Gita for $20 and read it. Oh, no, I have no money. This is the problem. Spend, how much for a set of Bhagavatam? $650. And yet, they'll spend $6,500 for a computer course and drop out. Not get their money back. Now listen to the false promises of the school. You're all going to get good jobs. Every student in those of our school gets good jobs. And for those few who actually finish the course, actually, you know, don't expect much. The market is tight these days. Be prepared to start off, you know, just serving coffee in an office. Maybe you'll get a break that way. Bhakti yoga is the real training and it is priceless. You can't put a price on it. Any effort to serve Krishna is priceless. Even when done unknowingly, that's true. Even if you serve Krishna without knowing it, you'll benefit. But it's much better if you put your heart into the activities. So please make this effort to see what your hearts are doing. How your heart energies are pumping. See if you're saving your heart for something else. And Krishna is so merciful that he accepted the devotion of Putana Rakshasi, the female child-killing witch. He accepted her devotion because she came to him disguised as a beautiful woman with maternal love. Under the influence of Yogamaya, even the mother of Krishna, Rohini, and the other elderly gopis of Vrindavan let Putana enter the house. And they are all so sensitive to Krishna's protection. It's amazing how Putana got into the house. But the Yogamaya spiritual potency of Krishna was arranging this Leela. So Putana gained access. She disguised herself as a very beautiful woman with nursing desires, maternal desires. Her real form, of course, is as a hideous demoness. But the demons have these powers to change their form into whatever they like. Just like you read in so many UFO and alien reports, how the aliens do what they call shape-shifting, change forms. So, that's nothing new. It's all there in the bottom of them. So, Kuzma did a shape-shifting, and she, you know, turned herself into a beautiful, you know, woman. And so, what did Rohini and Yashoda say? Oh, yeah, you believe nurse our child. It's a normal thing in the villages in India that another woman can nurse someone's child. They gave Kuchina access. Now, of course, you know what her job was. She was sent by the deadly king Kamsa to kill Krishna. She had killed so many babies in the surrounding area. That was Kamsa's terrorist policy. Kill all the newborn babies in the area. Somehow the Krishna will die. We just wipe them all out. We're bound to get them. Blanket order. Kill all newborn babies. That way we're sure to finish off Krishna. So she had killed so many young children. So therefore, Krishna knew, I've got to kill her. She's done so many horrible things. She approached Krishna with poison-smeared breasts. Real terrorist tactic. So, yes, she got to nurse baby Krishna. She got to put her breasts in his mouth to feed him. She wanted to kill him. Yes, now he's taking my breast in his mouth. He'll suck, and he'll suck the poison, and he'll be dead. What was Krishna thinking? It's unfortunate I have to kill this woman. I kill a woman, and that's not very good. But she kills so many babies. What can I do? What happened when Krishna began to suck? He sucked her milk, he sucked the poison, and he also sucked out the life air. So you can imagine Kutana Rakshasi thinking that, now I'm going to kill him. I got my poison breath in his mouth, and then her whole life is going out. How old was Krishna when he was doing this?
3 months old?
He doesn't develop into the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At every stage, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He doesn't need to develop mystic powers. At every stage of his manifested presence in this world, he had the full potency of the Supreme Lord. So he showed that at 3 months old. He showed it at 7 years old, lifting Govardhan Hill. Krishna is always showing that although I'm sort of doing things in a human way, I'll also show you that I am the Supreme Personality God. So here he is being nursed by an apparently nice lady. There's nothing unusual in that. The unusual thing is that he killed her just by sucking out her life air through the breast. And Kuchina began to scream horribly, "Leave me, child! Leave me, child! She's dying! He's killing her!" Not only is he sucking out her life air through her breast, but he's pounding her with little fists. He's kicking her chest in with his little feet. A threefold killing process. This is the Supreme Personality got him. Perfect killer as a 3 month baby. So he sucked and he pounded with his fist and he kicked her with his feet. She tried to get away, and in trying to get away, she transformed into her original form as a non-hideous demon. She ran out of the house into the nearby pastures, a huge demon. and Krishna is sucking and pounding and kicking. Then she crashes to the ground dead. Mother Yasoda and Rahini and the elderly goat make a sound. What is this? They come out to where this huge demoness is lying dead, and they see Krishna's just playing peacefully on her chest. No worries, no anxieties. Actually, Pujana had very intimate contact with Krishna, with his lotus feet, with him sucking her breast, with his hands. So she became purified. The result is that when her body was burnt by the residents of Vrindavan, it gave off such an unpleasant aroma because her body had been purified of all sinful reactions. Krishna killed her because she killed so many babies. She was a demoness. But then, simultaneously, he gave her a position in Goloka Vrindavan as good as the position of his own mother. She became a nurse in Goloka Vrindavan. So this is Krishna's way of doing things. He said, yes, she's a demoness, so I killed her, but she approached me like a mother. But she approached me like she had the heart of a mother. Even though she really didn't have the heart of a mother, she approached me like she had the heart of a mother, therefore also reciprocate with that. This is how much Krishna relishes heartfelt offerings. Pujana approached him like she had the heart of a mother, and she got this benefit of being a nurse in Goloka Vrindavan. What's the secret if you actually put your heart into what you're doing for Krishna? What will be the result? So these are the mysteries of bhakti. These mysteries don't make sense on the material plane. Bhakti cannot be understood by material intelligence. You can be the greatest university professor. You can actually complete your $6,500 course. So you won't be able to understand bhakti. Bhakti is understood only on its own terms. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya, in this chapter, Chaitanya Charitamrita, is concerned with explaining the process of devotional service, bhakti yoga. Unless Krishna explains it, how will you understand? And because Kali Yuga is such a hellish time, Krishna comes as his own devotee, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to demonstrate how to put your heart into devotional service. So let us make plans how to do that, how to invest our heart's energies. Don't think, oh, I'm too young, or I'm too old, or I've got too many responsibilities, or I've been hurt so much before in my life. Or we can all come up with so many excuses. If you put your heart into your service, you'll see magical results. Then you'll see the Sadhu Bhushan, the decorated saintly qualities. You'll see those decorations start to show in you. You'll be surprised. All right, any questions? What does Rupa Goswami say in next instruction, Rupa Deshamrita? Syat Krishna Nama Charitari Sukhavirudhya. The holy name of Krishna is like sugar candy, but our tongues are covered with hepatitis. John just means hepatitis. So, therefore, artificially, we can't taste the sweetness of the holy name. But if you simply chant the holy name of the Lord attentively every day, the natural sweetness will become known to you. It's not that the sweetness is not there. It's just there's a pollution in the system, your system, that you have to cleanse, and then you'll taste the natural sweetness. So Rupa Goswami says, daily practice the chanting. Take soul, you have known you. There has to be some patience. For so many births, we've abused ourselves. Why can't we take some time to become Krishna conscious? You invest your heart into what you're doing, there'll be the taste. Without a doubt. Examine your heart and see, what are you pining for? What are you reserving your heart for? What are you hoping for in the deepest chambers of your heart? So put Krishna there, and then you'll see the taste. Also, the more you give Krishna to others, the more you can taste for yourself. We're hearing the sadhu is karunika, merciful. Mercy means to give Krishna to others. If you just want to be selfish, well, I have Krishna, I don't care so much for others, then your taste won't be so great. As if you dedicate your life to be fixed or tolerant in dispensing Krishna to others. Then you are Suvada Sarvadena, you are the well-wisher of all the entities. This whole place exists here to give mercy to others. It's a refuge, a sanctuary for the tortured denizens of Kali Yuga. So you can assist in doing this urban missionary work of giving Krishna to others, relieving the miseries of these crazy people in the city, then Krishna will be very pleased with you. He says, no one's more dear, nor will there ever be one more dear than the one who gives my glories to others, teaches about devotional service to others. And you have to be detached but tolerant, because sometimes you're not going to be appreciated.
Why is it that people who abandon the process can't keep Krishna consciousness on a mundane religious kind of level?
That's Kali Yuga is so ferocious that without shelter at the whole, without taking shelter of the holy name, nothing works. You can't even make a pretense to Krishna consciousness. You're either swimming in the river of bhakti, or else you're swept away by the majority. This is how, it's just the nature of the times. It's very hard to fake Krishna consciousness. It's very difficult. Because the modes of nature are so ferocious. As soon as you neglect to take shelter of the holy name properly, the modes of passion are right there to grab you. And then when you become frustrated with the mode of passion, there's the mode of ignorance. I was just wondering about this yesterday. When Westerners take the Krishna consciousness, people outside of India, it's generally all or nothing. And I've been hoping for years to see, is it possible that maybe some people can they can't follow the process completely, but at least they can do something. But I go all over the world, and generally I see it's not working. It's like either you're under the influence of the internal potency, or else you're swept out. Because the Kali Yuga is so ferocious. This is what the Shastra says. Asti Heko Mahanguna. Kirtanadeva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Paramita. There's only one good thing in Kali Yuga, in this ocean of faults. Kalyan Drushani Devaju. Only one good thing is simply by chanting Hare Krishna, you can obtain freedom from material contamination. Mukta Sangha Paramite. So, without taking shelter copy of the holy name, we're easily ravaged by the modes of material nature. India still has some sane culture. It's under attack. But there's no sane culture. In the West, there's no supportive culture for spiritual endeavors. So it's very difficult to maintain your footing, even in the materially religious sense, without practicing taking shelter of the holy name. It's very difficult. There's no supportive culture in the West. No supportive family, no supportive government, nothing. All you have is the holy name. Could you discard that? What is there? Can you? Yeah.
In this Bhagavad Gita class, we are reading from chapter 5, verse 14, 30-15. And in this, Lord Krishna says that, so if you desire good, then he said, he pushes you to a state and you desire good too. But then he also says that if you desire bad, then he also pushes you to a state as well, so that that can be fulfilled. So then the question was raised in the discussion that if Krishna knows that what you desire is bad and the result is going to be bad, then why does he push you towards death as well?
He doesn't interfere with your mighty independence. He's always telling you, as a super soul, what is the best thing, but we don't listen to that. We're so persistent with our desires, our wrong desires, so Krishna says, alright, that's what you want, here's how to do it. You see, it's not that we need Krishna's help just to remember him. You also need Krishna's help to forget him. This is how powerless we are. When Krishna says, Matasmitir Dhyanamapovanam Cha, from me comes all knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. He's not simply talking about forgetting in terms of forgetting ordinary things of our life. He's talking about forgetting him. If you want to forget Krishna, you need his help. If you want to forget your material desires, you need Krishna's help. This is how powerless we are. We can't even forget Krishna without his help. All we can do is desire. Krishna has to fulfill the desire. So reluctantly, he reminds you of your past material desire. Reluctantly. Desire is the most mystical thing. Love of God is based on desire. So Krishna doesn't interfere with your mind independence. He gives you all good instruction. But if you persist, what can be done? At the same time, though, Krishna has his devotees everywhere canvassing on his behalf. And unavoidably, you will have some interaction with a devotee. And unknowingly, you can serve Krishna. So he gets it back that way. Let's say you're at work, and you're walking into a room behind someone, and they hold the door open for you. That happens many times, huh? That's super soul watching. You have held the door open for a devotee. They get credit. Yes. So that's Krishna's covert way of getting you back. Yes, he lets you fulfill your desire. Okay, you want to be a fool, you persist so much, you want to be mad, you want to be a fool of Kali Yuga. What can I do? But at the same time, we have this system whereby you can render service to Krishna even unknowingly. And that way, develop some credits. And the whole thing done. Even unknowingly, that helps the cause of Krishna. You get credit for it. You can watch for this. You can see. As you become older devotees, you'll see exactly the super soul arranging it. Like if you're flying on the airplane and you have stuff in the overhead rack. And you know, you're reaching for it, you just can't quite reach it, it's a little bit further down, there's somebody right there. Oh, let me hand that to you. Krishna knows you. Ooh, you'll help the devotee. So that's how Krishna gets you all that. They're feeling a little hungry. They're walking in central Wellington. Hunger. Look at this place. It's a new place here. They don't have to stop in there and eat. So they come to the food for life. And there's nice food. So Krishna has a super soul knowing. You have appreciated my prasad. You don't even know what it is. That's Krishna's system. That's why it's very important that devotees circulate to give people a chance to serve Krishna even unknowingly. Of course, the best thing is that they know they're serving Krishna. Prabhupada explained that. Because we asked Prabhupada. We heard it so much. Some devotees are saying that if someone takes prasad, automatically they'll get a human form of life in the next birth. Prabhupada said no. If they take prasad, it's guaranteed that they'll be able to take prasad again. Less species you can't say. But he says if they take prasad knowing that this is an offer to Krishna, then they get a human form automatically. Because to know the prasad is an offer to Krishna means there's some devotional attitude. About his books, he said, if they take the book in the hand and just appreciate what a nice book, then they get a human form of life. So these are the mysteries of bhakti. Narada Muni, in his autobiography, in the first canon, describes the Bhakti Vedantas came to my house, they stayed there during the rainy season. By chance, I took their rents, and I became attracted to the nature of a transcendentalist.
Maharaj was still trying to enable us to evaluate ourselves more deeply, or you know, will we see, actually see these qualities that are suddenly manifesting, or will we feel like the moment is laid out for them?
Oh, you'll see them developing, but you'll think, I have so far to go. And the devotee always thinks like that. And the devotee never thinks, now I've achieved Krishna. He always thinks, so much more work to be done. It doesn't make material sense. The more you have Krishna, the more you think you need more Krishna. So far to go. It's not that, you know, when you get it together and have a good run at practicing bhakti yoga 5 or 10 years, then okay, I got Krishna, that's it. You'll always feel so much further to go. Never ending. This is the mood taught by the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Never to say, never to think you have Krishna. Their mood was always, where are you, Krishna? Are you on Govardhan Hill? Are you by the Yamuna? Where are you? In that intensity of searching for Krishna, Krishna is more present with her. This is love of Krishna in separation. Viraha Bhava. Kripalamba Seva. Have you ever nearly missed someone so much and you're thinking about that person? all day. But that person was not present in your feelings of missing the person. But in the spiritual world, on the spiritual platform, Krishna is present in your intense feelings of missing him. Materialists can't understand this. They have the expression, absence makes the heart grow fonder. They don't know how this works on the spiritual platform. So materially, it looks like Krishna's girlfriend, the gopis in Vrindavan, suffered so much, he left them. But actually, he gave them the most intense association through separation. So we are following the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. We are Rupa Nimbus, following Rupa Goswami. He is not in the form. We never said, now we have attained Krishna. We always said, where is Krishna? As Prabhupada described it, he said, their mission was always unfulfilled. Amen. I'm taking you across this in which the mission will always be unfulfilled. That's the mystery of love of Krishna's separation. In separation, they had more Krishna than anyone. But they always felt, we don't have Krishna. The mystery, the paradox. So this is what goes on at the highest levels of bhakti. Before we can aspire for the subject matter, we have to become well situated in the regular principles, well situated in our sadhana for some time. But that is the goal. Love of Krishna separation. What does Srinivasacharya say in his prayers to the Goswamis? Hey Radhe Raja Devi, hey Shalabhikam, hey Nanda Suna Kuta. Srimati Radharani, where are you? Lalita. Oh, son of Maharaj, Nanda, where are you? Are you on Govardhan Hill? Are you on the bank of the Jumna? Where are you? Absorb yourself in hearing and chanting. And if you get an authorized way of rendering service to the Holy Dham, that's a very special opportunity. Association with a serious resident of the Holy Dham. Also a very rare opportunity. Don't waste time. Don't waste time socializing. Bathe the soul in the spiritual atmosphere. Increase your hearing and chanting at every moment. Sometimes the body will feel uncomfortable due to the different environment, different climate. There's stomach bugs come and go. But don't waste time. Use every moment. Consider every moment so precious. Devotional service in Vrindavan is 10 times more potent, and offenses in Vrindavan are 10 times as destructive. So it's nice that you'll be going there doing a little service along with the hearing chanting. You may have some practical duties that the Shakti Prabhupada will give you, so that's nice. That'll keep you grounded. chant lots of Hare Krishna.
From the core of your heart.
Yes. Things start with desire. Yes. Desire is not a light thing. Very powerful. Once you desire, if you're sincere about your desire, you start arranging circumstances. So you can achieve your desire. You do your best. And Krishna's watching. Oh, you're really serious? You're trying to attract Krishna's attention. You know how to attract attention, don't you? So you attract Krishna's attention. That is what bhakti is about. But Krishna is not attracted to something unless your heart is involved. Bhakti means head and heart combined. Therefore, it's so powerful. Alright. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
So you say, Rishkamala.